Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning or good afternoon. Hopefully you can hear me. If you're in the chat room, just tell me, because we've had a problem with Skype and Blog Talk Radio. And if you can't hear me, if I'm really quiet, then what I need you to do is just tell me that, and then I'll log back in. It seems to log in and log out seems to help. Or log out, log in, something like that, whatever. You know, good morning. How's everyone on this beautiful day? It's a Monday. Off to a great start this week, right? Right? Okay, so what we're going to do is talk about love. Now, when I use the word love, I don't necessarily mean romantic love, like, ooh, am I going to meet love of my life kind of love. And I mean love as in loving yourself. And I've been reading this really, really excellent book. It's excellent. I've read other material by this gentleman and I've listened to lectures by him. His name is David R. Hawking. David passed, 2012, and this book came out shortly about the time of his passing. Called Letting Go. And he also wrote a book called Power versus Force. He's a psychiatrist. He had a PhD, an MD, a psychiatrist. He saw thousands of clients and he wrote lots of books on just basically consciousness and living in consciousness. And this whole book is centered on, this one section of the book is centered on love. So I'm going to get into that material a little bit about love. And I got some articles to cover too, which I'm going to try to twist into about the idea of love. But before I take a call, because I see I have a couple calls, I want to just one quote from the book, because I'm going to refer back and forth to the book a bit today, because it really made a profound thought on me. And I'm going to do a little meditation about this whole concept. And maybe let my spirit guide talk to you a little bit about this whole process of love. And so let me read one quote. I thought this was really fascinating, and this is like so appropriate to my life, so I thought I got to talk about this. So this is from David R. Hawking's Letting Go. The book is on chapters on love. The more we love, the more we can love. Love is limitless. Love begets love. That is why psychiatrists recommend having a pet. A dog, for example, brings love and expands love in the heart of the owner. Love prolongs life. In fact, research documents that having a dog extends the owner's life by 10 years. Just think of all the bizarre exercises, and other regimens people could go through to add relatively small amounts of time to their life when they can simply get a dog. Get a dog. And had 10 years. I have a dog, so I thought I had to go there this morning because, you know, it could be a cat, but let me read a little bit more about dogs, because he's into dogs, and that's about love, because dogs are unconditional love. Aren't they? They're really about unconditional love. Love has a powerful anabolic effect. Love increases endorphins, which are life-enhancing hormones. You live 10 years longer with a dog in your life because a dog crystallizes the energy of love, and that energy of love heals and prolongs life. So that's what I'm talking about. That's the kind of love I'm talking about here. I'm not talking about, but romantic love will do that. I mean, have you seen couples that have been in love forever? You know, they're in their 80s and they're still deeply in love with each other. It's the love that they have. Now, we can get into all the definitions of the word love, and the Bible defines love, and Dr. Hawkins defines love, which is pretty close to the just goes beyond the traditional definitions of love. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about, if I can get the mic to work for me today, we'll talk about love, if I can get back to the beginning of the chapter. Here, we'll talk a little bit about the aspects of love, and what he writes about, but also what Spirit says about this. So that's what we're going to talk about. And I have some articles which are, I kind of twist and relate to that about loving yourself. And one of the things that you can do to really, really love yourself, which is walk. Not just going out on power walks once a day, morning and evening, but just walking during the day. Just getting up from your chair and walking for about 3 or 4 minutes, just walking, not being as sedentary as we are. That's one way of loving yourselves. You got a break, go for a walk, right? So let me take a call or two. Hopefully we're on the same sequence, we're on the same wavelength, and we're going to talk about love in this sense today, and what your soul might have to say about how you can love yourself more, and all that just popped into my brain a little bit. Okay, so let me take a call. Hello?
Hi, George. This is Mia.
Well, hi, Mia. How is Mia?
I am good. I want to ask you, what does my soul say about loving myself and loving others more?
Well, that's a good question. Let me just tune into you. You know, this is going to sound really simplistic, but I'll give it to you anyway. Okay?
Okay.
You know, it seems like an obvious statement, but just do it. I hear just do
okay.
it, or just be it. I think being it is more than just doing it. Okay? Just be love. Just be love. You have a lot to give, is what I'm picking up. A lot to give to people and yourself and the world around you, right?
I think we all do.
But you do. Well, some people are more withdrawn, and they're more in their, you know, they're in their little room, and that's all they do, and they don't come out, and they don't offer. But you need to offer yourself more. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that means exactly, but you have to figure out what that is, because you really have a lot to offer. And it's about extending love, not in romantic terms, because I'm trying to really avoid that kind of concept, even though it's a big part of love, is romance.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about extending. Let me give you one word that relates to this. And see if I can get that one word that kind of summarizes what they mean by offering yourself in what area of your life, okay? Let me see if
okay.
I can tune in to that one word. Yeah, and you have to identify what this is, but I hear it's sharing. Sharing your gifts. And maybe you have to do a little more identity of what your gifts are, but I'm not sure if you totally know what your gifts are. And that's a bit of self-reflection on your part, but it's sharing your gifts, okay? What are your gifts?
Okay.
What are your gifts?
I don't know.
Well, see, that's where we're getting to the point here, is that you sharing your gifts, and it's not necessarily, you know, being a psychic or being a healer per se. And I believe your gifts, and I'm hearing kind of the idea that your gifts have to do with communication, okay?
Okay.
So what do you communicate? Do you write?
I can.
But I think it's beyond writing. I don't think it's writing. I think it's more visual than it is in writing, okay? It feels like
okay.
a gift communication it through a visual. What do you do for work?
I'm in accounting, but I'm looking to change that career too.
What do you want to do next?
I want to get into healthcare.
Okay. It's interesting because I see something completely different, and it might relate to that. But it has a lot
okay.
to do with color. Color.
Okay.
The use of color. I mean, even in healthcare, there's, you know, color can be very healing. You know, that's why they paint certain offices light green or a greenish tone. It's a healing color. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it feels like something to do with color. I don't know why I say that. And I'll give it to you anyway. It's just, I see splashes of color around you. Do you like colorful things?
I do. That's maybe more personal.
Well,
than
you're
doing
good,
for others. I like bright colors.
Well, but because that shows your personality, right?
Yeah, and it makes me happy to see colors.
Okay, So we're kind of getting to, and I don't have all the answers right here, but it feels like the energy around you is that your expression of communicating through colors, because you love color and you love bright colors, it's some way of being able to. Do you work with children at all? Do you want to work with children?
No, not really. I prefer adults.
Well, it could be, it just, I see you using color to help people, okay? Think about it, just think about it. That you brighten up people's day, you express love through color, and you brighten up people's day. Even if you wear clothes that are bright color, you brighten up people's days, don't you?
Yeah, I now that you mentioned it, it seems that way. I have a lot of black because black is the color that makes us look thin. But then when I wear black, people get moody. I throw in like a bright orange shirt over a black, pair of pants, right? And somehow, it seems like the people around me are happier.
Okay, dear. We're dragging this out.
That you're right. When it comes to color, when I'm, when I wear bright red, bright blue, or people around me just seem to be talking like they've gone to a party and just had the best time of their life. And then when I'm in gray, black, or beige, white color, they're like, the world just seems so upside down. Everything just seems to be irritated to them.
Okay, so let's finish with this thought, and you can think about this and how you apply it to whatever you're going to do next. And it feels like if you want to get into the healing arts, it's being conscious of how you use color in your own life. Okay, your dress, you carry, what you do, how you use color to brighten up and show love to other people.
Okay.
In the environment you're in, if you can show, it's like, okay, let me give you another example of color, okay? Flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Bright colored flowers, having them around.
Okay. I do that already.
Yeah, but see, that's your reflection. Being conscious of this every day is how can I be more menacing? How can I can demonstrate more love by the use of color in my life? What can I go? I'm going to go shopping. Oh, that's beautiful. I love the colors. I'm going to get that because I know that's going to reflect more of my love through color.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
It's not like huge change the world. You're not going to change the world necessarily. But you'll change one person at a time by showing them color and brightening up their day, right? Whatever you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So right. Spirit's trying to, your soul's trying to remind you, this is a way that you express your love and how you affect people is through color. For some reason, and I know why, but for some reason your soul wants you to show color. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a past life as an artist. Maybe that's what I was. It's a past life as an artist where you used a lot of color. So you're expressing color in this life a little differently. Okay?
Okay. I'm not an artist in this life. I can't draw for
but it doesn't
for
matter.
Anyone.
But color becomes your art. The use of color becomes your art and your expression of helping other people. Just, if you can help somebody to smile by doing color, using that, you've made their day a little brighter, right? For at least 5 minutes. And they can think about your color, and they go, wow, she really is colorful, wow, really cool stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so think about that. Think about how every day, what can I do differently today to show a little different side of myself in the colors I'm wearing? How can I reflect a different mood today by color? Not the grumpy. We don't go grumpy here. We're not talking grumpy, okay? But
yes, I know what you
mean. If you wear black, sometimes it is kind of that mourning kind of depressed, mourning kind of color, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're wearing green, bright green pastels, it's kind of brightening up people's day and brightening up your mood. If you're wearing fiery reds, it's more sensual, it's well excited, you know.
Mhm.
Okay, think about it. Got it?
Mhm. Got it.
We all express in different ways, and this is one way you can think about expressing who you are by your color. Okay?
Mhm.
Take care. Have fun. Go wear something.
You
go
too.
Wear something really bright and cheerful today. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
I've seen these really beautiful scarves, like, you know, colored scarves that people wear around their necks, you know. And I'm seeing a lot of bright, like, more like silky kind of things. I don't know if that's appropriate for her or not, but that's what I'm seeing. And it's really beautiful. And it just, it, you know, what was the actress? Audrey Hepburn. Yeah. She wore all these bright scarves, sunglasses, and just kind of flare of color. Just a flare of color. You can make people's day. Yes, I don't know if you believe that, but okay, so we got into love. So we're talking about love from this thing. How do you express love? So in this case, it was expressing love through color. Having a dog, I love that. I love that. Adding 10 years to your life by having a dog. I don't know if people have. I have a dog. And I could rant about this, and I know there's reasons why, but there's apartment owners that don't want people to have pets. A small dog, you know. Well, they'll let you have a small dog. And small dogs are cool. I know people with chihuahuas and poodles. And they love their dogs, right? And it brings life. You know, you find that people, let's say in their 70s and 80s, that have a dog, it seems to extend their lives because they have responsibility, too. And dogs are unconditional love. I don't want to get into this whole thing about dogs today, but it's true. So let me get back to Dr. Hawking. Dr. Hawking. I like that. Dr. Hawking. About love. We'll talk a little bit more about that, and I have some articles about loving yourself and ways of doing it. And he says in this book, in the chapter on love, chapter 12, on letting go, love is a way of being. It is an energy that radiates from the blocks that have been surrendered. Now that's a cool thought. We're going to talk about that. This whole idea, because I can't read the whole book, and I'm not going to read the whole book to you, but about surrendering or letting go of the blocks that keep you from living this life of love. It's more than an emotion or a thought, it is a state of being. Have you ever thought about love as a state of being, just being in the state of love? It's a great concept, just feeling it throughout your body. And it's not necessarily in love with somebody, or it's in love with everybody, right? Everything, you know? Love is what we become through the pathway of surrender. It is a way of being in the world that says, how can I be of help to you? How can I comfort you? How can I loan you money when you're broke? How can I help you find a job? How can I console you when you've suffered a major loss in the family? Lovingness is a way of thought which we light up the world. Okay, I could get into this whole book and read a lot more, but I'm not going to, because I have other articles, and I want to take your calls if you're going to call in. We talk about your soul, and we can talk about your soul as to love, and your personal expressions of love in your world, and how to be more expressive of love in your world. Okay? So we'll do that. If you want to call in, we can do that. But is there anything else in the book I really wanted to talk to you? Probably not. Oh, let me just, one little point, and I'll move on. Okay, one little point. It's in Love Heals. Love facilitates healing. It transforms life. We see this is the true story about Duck Hunter, who was suddenly changed by witnessing an act of love. This is a great story, so pay attention, right? One day he was duck hunting, which he often did for recreation. As per its usual experience, he saw a duck flying, shot it, and watched it fall to the ground, badly injured. To his sudden amazement, he watched as a female mate of the injured duck immediately flew down on top of her companion, spread her wings over him to shelter him. Seeing her love, the heart of a hunter was changed. He never hunted again. Wow. point. Do we look for expressions of love in our world, or we look for expressions of fear? Do we open our hearts to that's why I watch videos about animals, because animals show love. I was watching this video of this horrible, mean creature they call, which is a certain type of dog, right? And this dog was playing with a kitten. And it was so beautiful to watch the interaction between the kitten and this dog. And I'm thinking, you know, there's just certain connections that animals can have with each other, even interspecies. Once you become loving, there are certain things you can never do again. There are certain things you can do in an energy field of love that are impossible otherwise. Moreover, people who do things for you, they would do for others. That makes love the miraculous labeling miraculous. Love has a transfiguring effect. Okay, I don't get into that too much more. But if you get a chance to read the book, you can get it really relative. I download books. I don't necessarily read paper books. Paper books, bound books. I read e-books. But you can find it. David R. Hawkins, and it's his latest book, Letting Go. So let's talk about letting go. If anybody wants to call in and talk about your soul and love, we'll do that. But let's talk about the idea of letting go or surrendering. And in the book, and in life, and I've read this a lot of other places, and this concept is rather interesting. We have what we call the little self and the big self. The big self is really your higher self, your soul, whatever term you want to put on it, your divine self. That's the big self. You have your little self, which I like the terminology, the little self, is your ego, some of your personality. And your ego is based on your history. You're based on the beliefs that you've come up with, the fear that you've come up with. And not, your ego is not bad. It's not a horrible thing. It's just your little self. And the way the book expressed this, it really got me thinking about the idea of love. And sometimes I can rant about politicians and, you know, how I think they're being really kind of out there and just kind of like, whoa, how can they possibly say these things? And how insensitive can they be? And how self-centered can they be? And all these, you know, ego issues, right? And then I'm thinking to myself, after reading a little bit more about this whole subject, I'm thinking to myself, they're just working from their little self. They're just working from the ego. And then the comparison that came to me, and I'm sure Dr. Hawkins would agree, maybe I'll channel him someday, right? He has passed. Is that little self is like that child. That little child within you, if you've ever done child work, inner child work, that little child within you that's screaming out of anger and frustration and not knowing how to fix something. And it's adopted these beliefs and adopted from immaturity. Your little child can be very immature at times. You can be very mature, but usually the very mature part of you comes from your higher self, your soul, and that ego part can be very immature at times, and they can cry out with immaturity. Is that the word? I don't know. Is that the right word? But, so when I see people in the world saying stupid things, what I consider stupid things, you may agree with them, I don't know. I see that little inner child in them yelling out of fear, scared, fearful, don't knowing how to solve a problem. So they're going to deal with it. We're going to express it through anger, express it through frustration. It's not a child gets upset, doesn't know how to solve a problem, and I got this going on, I'm just going to cry. I'm just going to have a tantrum because I can't get my way, right? And that, doesn't that sound a little bit like politicians that we've seen? So you've got to love them. You've got to love them because that's what, you got to love that they're a child that needs love. You got to see past the facade of the angry white man or angry whatever, you know, the 50-year-old angry white man, right, that's dominating in appearance. You got to see that little child within them that's crying out, that doesn't have answers, that is based on fear. And you got to love that person. You got to love, maybe not love necessarily what they're saying. You can kind of disregard that, but you got to love the person because that's what they're crying out for love. You got to love them.
They want love.
And as, you know, Jesus talked about, love will transform you into something different. Love is the healing energy. Forgiveness, that's a big part of love, isn't it? Forgiveness. Jesus didn't hate, he loved. He expressed love. Right? He expressed love. So that's what it's all about. So let's get back to this whole idea of surrender for a moment. I know I'm going on and on, and if you have something you want to comment or call in or question or chat room thought, please do. I'm more than willing to take your calls, your questions about your soul, and then I'll get into some articles. I just, this whole idea of surrender. Let me, you know what? I'm going to do this. I've got to, you know, instead of rambling on and on and on, and I feel like I'm channeling to some degree, but I will let my spirit guides talk to you about this whole thing of surrender and see what they have to say. Okay? So I'm going to go away and let them talk. You know, it's a spirit group. I channel a group. They use a specific name, but it's a group of teachers and masters. Most of them have lived on the earth at one time or another, and some of them haven't. Some of them just reside in a high, very spiritual energy, high evolved energy, and they come together in unity and speak with one voice on subjects. And I'm not the only one that goes through them. You know, they channel through. They channel through a bunch of people, and they use different names for different people. Okay, so pretty, you know, I don't want to take exclusivity for this whole thing of I'm the one, right? No. Okay, so I'm going to go away and let them talk to you. Well, when George uses the word surrender, and when teachers use the surrender word, that we have to be a little careful, because surrender doesn't mean completely let go and just dissolve yourself of everything in your life. No. Surrender, it's surrendering to love. It's allowing love to becoming that dominant energy in your life. And how do you do that? You know, we're kind of resisting what George is thinking on this, because he's trying to say that he's wanting us to say to you, well, you just absorb your ego into your higher self, and that takes care of everything, and that resolves everything. Well, it's more than that. We'll use the word integration here. It's a gradual integration of all of you into the level of love. It's a gradual integration of all of your being into love. And that takes a little bit of time. It can be instantaneous. Some people call it an enlightenment. But we'll just say it's a gradual integration of all of you into a state of love, which is about compassion, which is about kindness, which is about respect, which is about generosity, which is about forgiveness. We've used these words before, and we'll continue to use these words. When we define love, we use those words. We also define love as having a great sense of humor and being able to laugh at yourself. It's humility. It really is humility. Love is about humility, never taking yourself too seriously. That you are human, that you will make mistakes, because you're here to make mistakes. You're absolutely here to make mistakes, because you're here part of a learning process. But that's not, okay, let's get back to the word surrender. So surrender is just allowing yourself to fully integrate into this state of love. It takes time. But it's a willingness to do so. And to use the expression that's used in this book, it's letting go, letting go, letting down those fear barriers. Fear puts up barriers in your life. Fear restricts you. Fear keeps you from this letting go and allowing yourself to live from that state of love. Now, I don't know if we're making sense to you or not, if we're really getting to the point of what we mean by surrender. You might say if it's living in a harmonic state of being with the energy of love. You know, as it's been stated many, many thousands of times, God is love. The divine energy, the energy of your soul is love. The energy of your soul is love. this progressive, moving forward desire to create a beautiful environment of all forms. That's your soul. Your soul wants you to create this beautiful life, this magnificent life, based on this idea of loving yourself and loving everything around you and caring for and expressing love to everything around you. So when we talk about integrating, it's integrating all of you into that state, allowing yourself to become one with that state of love that your soul is. And how do you do that? Well, it's retraining yourself away from the concepts of fear, to address every issue of fear in your life with love, to look at fear, where did it come from, what is the belief behind this fear that I have. There's always a belief of some form behind fear. You watch a television show, you watch a news broadcast, and you're suddenly filled with fear because you see some event on there of violence. And the fear comes that if you personalize it, you realize, you think to yourself, oh, that could happen to me, so I'm going to be fearful. And it's natural. It's human. You do that. It's not so unusual. But integrating your soul into that, integrating that love feeling into that, you could say to yourself, that's a possibility. That is, but it's a very remote possibility. And if I express love into the world, and if I'm one of those that are expressing love, I really, really push that further and away from my own reality. Because the more love I express, and the more love I give, and the more love I share, and the more people I influence with love, the more remote that possibility of violence comes into my life. I will not manifest it in my life because I only want to manifest love-based relationships and love-based situations. So it becomes very remote, and the possibility becomes extremely remote that can happen to me because I'm love-based and I express love and I share love, and I am willing to push on with love those situations so they don't happen to me. So you diffuse the belief. You take the power away from the belief. And there's lots of beliefs in your life that generate fear. So it's addressing those beliefs about that generate fear and picking those beliefs apart and infusing love into those beliefs. Looking those beliefs from the aspect of love so that they lose their power, they lose their intensity. The possibility still might be there, but you make them so remote. And you stop projecting about the possibilities. You decide to live in love. And that living from love, you create new possibilities, new venues, new attitudes, new ideas, new manifestations in your life that push those fearful manifestations, those fearful events away from your life. You got that? You understand that? So how do you integrate yourself into that state of love? To that soulful place within you, you look at yourself and you go, oh, okay, that's a fear. Where did that fear come from? What's the belief behind that fear? And how can I shift that fear? How can I diffuse that belief and fear by infusing it with love? That's the lesson. So we want you to do that. We want you to, when you're faced with fear, which is the opposite of love, when you're faced with fear, whatever it is, with the fear of something in your life, it could be fear that I will never fall in love again with a partner. That's a fear. Oh, I will never be in love and I'm unlovable. That's a horrible fear, isn't it? That's a horrible fear. But your soul is saying that's not true. So where did that belief come from? Diffuse that belief. Let's tear that belief apart and see that it's not valid. It has no substance in your life. It's a false premise. And that love is something, and having love and being in love is your birthright. Absolute birthright. Now, you might think, let's use an example of your belief systems. I only can love this certain type of person. He can only be, or she can only be so tall and have this certain skin tone and do this and do that. Well, that's your belief. And now you're pushing love away, because there are a lot of people that can come into your life that you can love dearly and deeply who don't live by those criteria. Now, your preferences are good, but are they based on a false premise? I can only love these people. I can only love these people. Now, only you can examine that. We can't tell you that's right or wrong. We can't tell you that your preferences are wrong, per se. But are you eliminating yourself from love by fear? Now, what is the fear? Okay, we'll examine that one for a moment. We like this because it really gets into the core of humans. And George has experienced this, and he knows what we're talking about. That if you have a certain preference for an individual, size, shape, color, religious background, whatever it is, what is the fear behind that preference? They're going to convert you. You won't be able to talk. You won't be able to have a great sexual experience with somebody because of a certain size and shape of their body. They won't be able to protect you in certain situations. What is your fear? Look at that belief about that person that you want and your preferences. What is the fear behind your preference? And you say, there's no fear, it's just something you like. Okay, that's fine. But look at it from the point, is there a fear behind that? And then if you can block out the fear, if you can diffuse the fear behind that belief about something, it opens you up to more possibilities about love, of meeting somebody. Because if you put in such a criteria together of creating and manifesting some of your life that you've limited it down to 10 people in the population of the earth, you need to take a look at your criteria a little bit, your preferences a little bit. Maybe there's some fear behind those preferences and your beliefs. And you need to start diffusing those and injecting love so that you can open up and broaden yourself up to love. We use that as an example here of we see people with preferences. Sometimes those preferences limit the possibility to meeting and having beautiful relationships with people based on prejudice. And whatever the prejudice may be. You call it a preference, but it really is prejudice. Because it's fear. Prejudice is based on fear, isn't it? We're not going to talk. We're taking a lot of time today. We're really getting to a subject matter. But we want you to take a look at that in your life. We just use that idea of attracting love into your life. If I'm not worthy of love. Well, you're not worthy of love because you can't find the right person, because the right person doesn't match up to your criteria, and your criteria is so limited and so restricted that it's based on so many prejudices and beliefs and fears that you'll never attract anybody into your life. Right? Think about it that way. So open yourself up. Look at your beliefs. What is my prejudice? What is my belief? Is my preference based on prejudice and belief, false belief? Or is it based on just, I like this, it looks good. I just find that attractive. It really feels good to have somebody around me like that. It feels good. I just love that. I love green eyes. I just absolutely adore green eyes. But if it's always brown eyes, it's just perfect. So you're kind of like, maybe I can put that one aside. Maybe you can put that one aside, Maybe there's so much other great qualities about this person. Such an amazing part of this person. I'm a tall man over 6 foot. I love tall men over 6 foot. That's cool. But what if you met somebody shorter? And there's so many great qualities about that person. You match up in so many areas. Can you take that belief or that preference? Just push it aside and say, it's not that important, really. Maybe it's based on some fear. Maybe because a green-eyed person was really nice to you when you were a child and you've adopted this idea about green-eyed people, which is a false belief, right? Look at it. Examine it. Why do I love green-eyed people? It could be just because somebody with green eyes treated you nice as a child. Maybe it was your great-grandmother or your grandmother that had green eyes. And it's nothing more than that. It doesn't mean everybody with green eyes is good or everybody with green eyes is bad. It's just something you adopted and a belief you adopted from childhood that you need to examine. Okay, we're going on and on about this subject, but we want you to start thinking about your preferences and your beliefs and why you hold on to certain things. Are they based on love? Are they based on fear? Or false preferences? Okay, so we'll leave it. Have a good one. Enjoy your day. It's been nice speaking to you. Thank you. Bye. Give me a second. I'll come back. Oh, they came pretty deep that time. And they really had some really interesting thoughts. That's not me. I wouldn't have gone off on that one. So, we're talking about preferences. Okay, about love. Love. So, who do you love, right? That's a good point. That's an excellent point. And it hit home with me. And I'm like, okay, thank you, Spirit, for reminding me that maybe I have false preferences. Maybe my preferences are based on prejudice of some form, you know. Don't like, you know, blondes are all stupid, right? You know, like really silly. Silly prejudice. Blondes are all stupid. And I don't want to hang out with blondes because blondes are all stupid. And I was a blonde as a kid, so that's like, you know, like, wait a minute, time out here. Okay. So they just use that one example of romantic love, and it seems to be as a psychic in the past, meeting somebody, bringing somebody in your life, and having love was so important. So are we limiting ourselves and who we allow into our lives based on false premises and prejudice? And we're not talking about racial prejudice. We're talking about all kinds of prejudice. It could be religious. It could be based on physicality. It could be a lot of things, right? Somebody's commenting. Okay, I'm reading, somebody in the chat room is talking about an operation that they're having tomorrow. So everybody in the chat room, everybody's listening, send love to my friend here. Okay? Send love. Just send love. Just send love. You know, this is a good time for the healing of love to take place. Okay, so it's time to just send love. Okay, I'm not going to get into a dream interpretation right now. I'm kind of running out of time. I wanted to get into a couple articles, but I'm going to send you love, absolute love. I'm going to send you love so that you base all your decisions on love in your life and that you know and trust and love yourself and love your healing process, that you will heal. You will absolutely heal. Okay? So I'm going to move on a little bit. Yeah, that was fun. I love what Spirit had to say. It's just amazing to me that they looked at that from a whole different point of view. Okay. So let me read this article. It's from the Today Show Health Desk. And the article is about walking. And I know I'm going to switch into the whole thing, but this is about loving yourself, right? How can you love yourself more and take care of yourself a little bit more? This exercise is the superfood of fitness, experts say. Walking may never become the trendy as CrossFit, as sexy as mud runs, or ego-boosting as Ironman races, but for fitness experts who stress daily movement over workouts, an active lifestyle over weekends of warrior games, walking is a superstar. And we'll get into this a little bit. For the author in the Science, Katie Bowman, walking is the biological imperative like eating. In her book, Move Your DNA, Restore Your Health Through Natural Movement, she suggests there are movement nutrients just like dietary nutrients is the word, that the body needs. Walking is a superfood. It is defining movement of a human, said. It's the defining movement of a human, Bowman. A based in Ventura, California. It's a lot easier to get movement than it is to get exercise. Movement is the key word here. walking is movement. It's movement. Researchers say emerging evidence suggests that combined physical activity and inactivity may be more important for chronic disease risk than physical activity alone. Actively sedentary is a new category of people who are fit for 1 hour but sitting around the rest of the day, Bowman said. You can't offset. Now, this is a really important point. You can't offset 10 hours of stillness with 1 hour of exercise. So you can't be a couch potato, or you can't sit at a desk for 9 to 10 hours a day and then just go to the gym for an hour. That's what they're basically saying, that it doesn't work. It's not good for your body and your soul and your mind and anything else. Well, it's a striking statement because, you know, you see a lot of gym rats after work go to the gym for an hour and fine, now I'm going home, watch television, see if I find ice cream, right? Last year, researchers at the University of Texas School of Public Health asked 218 marathoners and a half marathoners to report their training and sitting time. Meridian training time was 6.5 hours per week. Median total sitting time was 10.75 hours per week, suggesting that recreational distance runners are simultaneously highly sedentary and highly active. And an author on Walk at Home, Mix and Match Walk Blasters, DDV, said too many people believe that grueling hours at the gym is the only way to fitness. That's the biggest loser idea. Okay, that's a big loser idea. Let me go through this. She added a small study of non-obese published in the Journal of Medicine and Science and Sports and Exercise by scientists at Indiana University suggests that 3 to 5 minute walks done throughout three hours to reverses the harmful effects of prolonged sitting on arteries in the leg. 3 miles per hour is a good beginning, gradually working up to 4 miles per hour, she said, during walking. So, if you're sedentary, if you work at a desk, and you're going to work, you know, let's say you work 8 hours a day and you work 7 hours at the desk, what they're recommending is that you somehow get in 7,500 steps a day, which means every an hour or every so many minutes, you get up and walk. Just walk around for a little while. Just walk. The people who stay healthy and lose weight are walking constantly. Now, you got to talk to your boss about this and explain for my heart health and overall use of my brain, keep the blood pumping and keeping everything going, I need to walk. I need to get up. And if you're a manager and if you're a management in companies, you realize the importance of physical activity, not the gym, putting a brand new gym in with all the exercise, but just having walking programs. Just walking. For 3 hours of sedentary activity. What did they say here? Blah, 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 blah. 5 minute walks during a 3 hour period is really necessary, or is really good for you. So I thought that was a really fascinating article, and it's loving yourself. It's about loving yourself. And it really is good for mind and body and spirit just to get up and walk for a few minutes. Go outside. Or walk around. If you work in a big building, just walk around the building. I used to do that a lot. I'm getting too sedentary. By old age, it's not good. Older age. Okay? So start walking more. Basically, the article, if you love yourself and you want to stay healthy, walk more, right? Get up. Get out. Do stuff. Walk. For every 3 hours of sitting, you should do at least 5 to 10 minutes of walking. Now, if you can't get up from your desk and say, you've got to get up, lunchtime shouldn't be just around sitting eating. You should be up. Small lunch, go out and walk. Right? And I'll tell you what to do, but for health reasons, lunchtime should be about walking as much as it is about sitting around chatting, eating a lunch, and just sitting around shooting the fat with people. It really should be about, let's go out and walk. Let's go talk about this while we walk. Oh, we're on break. You know, you got these 10-minute breaks. You're required by law to have 10-minute breaks every 2 hours. You know, if your company's not doing that, you need to talk to them about and the necessity of the 10-minute break. And this should be a walking break. Well, let's go out and talk. Let's go walk. Just don't go sit in the cafeteria. and have more coffee, right? I love my coffee, so. So, I got a caller. It's kind of like fun stuff for the soul, isn't it? Your soul loves to walk. We got thousands and thousands and multiple thousands of years of evolution where we were very active people. In the last 100-something years, we've become very inactive. I would say it's not even the last 100 years. People lived on the farm. They walked all the time. They were out in the fields. They were walking to the barn. They were walking to this, walking to that. I would say in the last 50 years, 60 years, maybe even, we stopped walking. What a concept. Let me take a call before I run out of time and go rambling on and about walking. Hello? Hello?
Hi, George. How are you? Hi.
Hi. Do you walk every day? Do you walk 10 minutes every day? Every 3 hours, do you walk about 10 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes?
No.
Then why not?
I usually sit in sit in doing things.
Yeah, but it's time to get up and start walking more. Because you want a clear mind and you want to have a better thinking process, you walk more. You can walk and think.
That's true, yeah.
Walk and think.
I put on so much weight.
It's necessary. So what's going on with you today? Because I only have a couple minutes here.
Well, I want to ask you, I was just offered a position for a job, and when I went there to fill out the paperwork, they told me it was like a management trainee job, and then they gave me a description for a manager job, and then they said I would be doing the manager trainee job and this other job, coach job. So I'm wondering, what's going on with this? Am I going to be doing two jobs? Am I going to be paid? I'm just a little concerned what's going to happen. Am I going to be stuck doing two jobs for half a wage?
Well, they're going to try to maximize whatever they can out of you. Now, I don't know. I don't get the energy around the job, but you have to listen to your soul and say, does this feel right or doesn't feel right to me? You need to ask more questions. I'm not trying to avoid your questions.
Yeah, I do.
But it feels like you have to ask more questions. Does it feel right to you? I'm trying to get people to think in terms of or go to their soul and say, yeah, my soul says this is good or bad. It feels like something I really love to do. I really want to do this. And I'm willing to put up with some of the negative to do the positive.
Yeah, I don't mind, but I don't want to be taking advantage of either.
I'll give this warning, and I'm not trying to scare you away from the job, but I do know from past experience, management trainee jobs are a sales position. And a lot of times they're commission sales positions. So I would investigate that.
No,
is this a salary?
This is a case manager job.
Okay, well then...
No, it's a case manager training job.
They're going to try to maximize the usage of you to justify the salaries, basically, the thought here. They're going to maximize the use of you to justify the salary. So if you're going to wear multiple hats, they're going to justify your position and your salary by multiple hats. So are you comfortable with that? That's up to you. Okay.
Well, they only
gave
me a job description for one job.
Right. But they will try to maximize you, and they will have you wear multiple hats, which probably you could do, okay, to maximize your efforts to justify the salaries, what they're going to do, okay? Then it's not negative. It's just the way it is. So you have to decide, this is what I want to do, okay? It's not harmful.
Okay,
it's not going to... You're welcome.
Mhm.
Bye.
Mhm. Okay. Thanks.
You know, people have companies, and I can understand. You know, they're cutting costs at some levels, and they cut costs with people to maximize profits, and so they'll have people doing multiple jobs or multiple responsibilities, so they don't have to hire two people. Right? Management training. Okay. So yeah, that's. So you're going to learn, as a management trainee position, you're going to learn multiple responsibilities, basically what they're saying. Okay, enough of that. Oh, we got 5 minutes left. Any other callers, any other questions? Other than about, you know, my friend here, I know you're going to do well. We're praying for you that you're going to do well. And I'm not going to get into your dream, really, seriously, because I don't have time to do that. Okay. But just take your dream, whatever dreams you're having, and what fear is that releasing? What kind of fear? Think in terms of that dream is helping me to release some kind of fear. What is the fear? And you got to really kind of get into your soul a little bit, think about your soul, and go, okay, got it. I know it's trying to release. I know the fear it's trying to release. Okay? I've had some really strange dreams, and I think my dreams are related to, I'm taking blood pressure medication. My doctor has me on two, but I'm taking one. I'm only taking half of them. My blood pressure has dropped substantially. But I've been taking it too late at night, and I think it's affecting my dreams. Because I think my blood pressure drops too low at night while I'm sleeping, because naturally it would anyway, because you're sleeping. And so I think I'm having weird dreams. So I'm going to have to start moving my time scale back a little bit on the medication. I'm not a big medication person anyway. Not really. I'd rather do things holistically. But, you know, I'm willing to go along with this because I see the benefits of it. You should only do things because you see the benefits of it. Okay, I got an article here, 8 Ways to Let Go of a Person, Place, or Thing. And I thought this was an interesting article. I don't know if I have time to get into much of this. So, you know, the Buddhist thing, there's about this detachment. I mean, detachment's an interesting word, detaching yourself or letting go of something. And that's what I've been reading a lot about lately, is the letting go of the process, letting go of something, letting go of whatever it might be. So the first point, and I won't be able to get into all of these, is live in the present. One of the most beautiful descriptions of grief I've ever heard was by Olive Owen Stanley Sherman, MD, a practicing hospital psychiatrist who lost his wife and wrote a memoir about it. Well, basically, he was able to just focus on the present. He was focusing on the now. He said, in Leslie's, his wife's, I began to live in the present. Tragedy had cast a spotlight on the beauty of life and the power of love. In Swan's Way, I learned, reading a certain book, I learned from Marcel Proust that the past resides in what one has shared in love. Leslie was with me. Given an opportunity to present at the conference in Jerusalem, explored the at the Station of the Cross, I gazed at the extraordinary crucifix and lit a candle. Leslie, I said, amid an outpouring of soul-wrenching tears, this is one for you. So it's being in the moment, expressing love, feeling love. You haven't lost somebody. They're present, even though they're not in the physical form. Express, live in the moment. Bring the experience of love into the moment. I hope I explained that well. It was a bit of a confusing statement, but it's about taking everything, not being remorseful. Now, of course, there's a grieving process about letting somebody go. Obviously, there's grieving, and you have to go through that process. But if you can come to an acceptance and living in the moment and experience love in the moment, then you're pretty much getting through the grieving process, aren't you? Trust the process. So much of letting go is finding the right timing. If you let go too prematurely, or if your process is going to be harder and more time-consuming than it needs to be. You wait too long and things spoil the relationship or the project. Okay? So, it's about the process. Trust the process. Allow yourself to be in the process of letting go. Don't rush it. Don't wait too long. So, spend all this time on this stuff. Letting go. And I've learned to letting go. We'll talk more about letting go tomorrow, because that's a good topic. I want to get into letting go. Letting go of things that you're hung up on, that you're wanting. And there's a change from letting go to acceptance. Excuse me. Letting go of the angst, letting go of the desire for something, letting go of the wanting, and feeling the result that it will be. Okay? If that makes sense. We'll talk about that tomorrow. We'll talk about the difference between holding on to something, the vision of something, and letting go. There's two different things there. And it primarily is letting go of the angst, the negativity, the fear that's related to the topic, the frustration, all the negativity, negative energy related to something, and holding on to the love base of what it is, what you love, what you want, what is it feels good, what feels good, what would that be like? So, thank you for listening. I love you guys. We'll talk tomorrow and have a beautiful evening. Thank you very much. Bye now.